page 31, Call to Celebrate Christ's Presence. We call Salvationists worldwide to rejoice in our freedom, to celebrate Christ's real presence at all our meals and in all our meetings, and to seize the opportunity to explore in our life together the significance of the simple meals shared by Jesus and his friends and by the first Christians. We affirm that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one true sacrament of God. His incarnation and continuing gracious presence with his people by means of the indwelling Holy Spirit is the mystery at the heart of our faith. We hear our Lord's command to remember his broken body and his outpoured blood as in our families and in our faith communities we eat and drink together. We affirm that our meals and love feasts are an anticipation of the feasts of eternity and a participation in that fellowship which is the body of Christ on earth. In Chapter 1 of the Salvation Army Ceremonies book, officers are reminded of some Salvation Army principles. The setting of fixed forms of words or acts in connection with the ceremonies is not part of the Salvationist tradition. Further, there are many local customs in certain countries which necessitate some variation in the wording set out in this manual. Therefore, as long as army principles and any legal requirements are observed, the officiating officer need not feel compelled to follow the suggested wording in such a way as would prevent his looking to God and relying upon him for ultimate guidance. Not surprisingly, there follows a reminder that this does not mean that the text can be so changed that essential Salvationist emphases are lost. When the Commission began its concluding discussions on the sacraments, it had a united premise from which to start. Everyone was agreed that God's grace is freely and readily accessible to all people at all times and in all places. There was also agreement that no particular outward observance is necessary to inward grace. These beliefs are at the heart of Salvation Army worship and practice. They are uncomplicated. They remind us of our individual contact or relationship with God. The army would need to think hard and long before ever introducing any practices that might detract from such clear, uncluttered belief. When the sacrament of Holy Communion is perceived by some Christians to have a higher, some churches say essential, status for the receiving of inward grace, complications are introduced. And when some suggest that Salvationists are spiritually incomplete without this observance, care needs to be taken to see exactly what are the issues involved. Underlying the call to celebrate Christ's real presence at all our meals and in all our meetings is the belief that his presence can be enjoyed anywhere, at any time, by anyone. When someone comes into relationship with Jesus Christ and is born of the Spirit, that person's life is changed. That person is indwelt by God himself. The relationship is established. The Apostle Paul frequently spoke of this relationship. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Later in the same letter, he urges, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul speaks of the most intimate of relationships. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Chapter 2, verse 20. There have been times and there are occasions when some Christians suggest that Christ is received during specific ceremonies or within certain forms of worship or because certain elements are used. But the word received is misleading. If Christ already indwells, we need no ceremony to receive him. There are forms of worship which help us appreciate more deeply the presence of God in our lives or which assist us in being more aware of his working within us. But the presence of the indwelling Christ is already established, and it is this which matters above all else. Whatever forms of worship are used to assist us, they should never be seen as essential in themselves. The commission asked if the army was being disobedient to the Lord's words as recorded in Luke 22, verse 20, when at supper Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. In considering this, the obvious first question to ask is, do what? It is worth noting that Jesus was among friends sharing a Jewish custom when he was recorded as saying, do this. He was in a home, not a church. He was at a meal table, not a communion rail. He did not say that communion could only be administered by ordained priests. When we look at the question, do what, we should not assume that the pattern adopted by any particular church is the answer. Different churches have responded differently. Which approach is right? When the church has been divided through the centuries, it has generally been because too much emphasis has been put on the form of observance rather than the observance itself. The commission decided unanimously that the army was not being disobedient to the Lord's words. There was, however, a strong feeling that although remembrance of the Lord's death has always been at the heart of Salvation Army worship and motivation for service, the army has not always used its freedom to demonstrate this in its meetings and in its family groupings. New impetus is needed to ensure that opportunities to recognize Christ's presence and to remember his atonement are used as often as possible to deep and spiritually enriching effect. Among ways in which this can be achieved is the encouraging of fellowship meals. Fellowship meals do not depend upon set forms of words, and they provide opportunity for creative worship and participation. They can be adapted to particular cultures. The hallowing of meals at home was felt to have been neglected, yet they could be of great spiritual value within families. It was recognized that such meals are more easily practiced in some cultures than others. Commission members had to keep in mind that the report was to embrace more than 100 countries. Another important point is that the same terms mean different things in different cultures and countries. For instance, the Lord's Supper does not have the same meaning in Brazil as in England or France. The same applies to Holy Communion, Agape, and Love Feast in other places. The Commission also felt it important to emphasize that when Salvationists attend other Christian gatherings in which a form of Holy Communion is included, they should feel free to partake if the host church allows. Such sharing and fellowship plays a positive part in the total life of the church. The Commission discovered that over the years, some territories had actively discouraged any such participation. Contrast this with some areas of South America where the cultures assume that water baptism and participation in the Lord's Supper are essential, and it will be appreciated that Commission members felt deeply the contrasting needs of different areas of the army world. William Booth practiced the sacrament of Holy Communion after he was ordained in the Methodist ministry, and throughout his leadership of the army, he was always careful not to dismiss the spiritual benefits felt by those who took communion.